15 to 20 million.
Jump out there.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. If any of your family and friends live in our broadcast area, go to your telephone right now and ask them to tune in. If they live outside the area, or they live in the area and they're great internet people, and we do have a number of people who listen on the internet, I encourage you to go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. If you received a broadcast notice this morning, you'll receive a rebroadcast notice this afternoon, and I ask that you send that notice around to all of your family members and friends, because this is how we spread the word about good things happening with our movement. I want to thank our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, a small business advocate and SCORE mentor, as well as Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always honored to be with you. Last week, we had a very special guest joining us, and his name is legislator Ted Morton from the 8th District of Erie County, New York. And boy, Ted was really a wonderful guest, and we'll be listening in the future as to how he's making out with his action there in Erie County with the Made in America Act. We'll be watching Ted and asking for his continued support, as we asked him during the broadcast last week, to promote American Made Month during November, National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month, and everything possible that he can do to support our efforts to bring jobs back to America, back to the communities, so that people can go to work and not be in need of any type of government services, especially for working age and able-bodied Americans. Well, today, I'm pleased to say that we have all of our panel members with us, Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. And I'm going to say that today is open forum, so I'm going to ask each of our panel members to speak up about what's on their mind. And also, let's talk about some positive things that have been happening in America during the last 7 and 8 months. We're going to start off today with Larkin Conley. Larkin, Dr. Larkin, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Michael. Hello to you, to Rich, to Mr. Andel, and Henry. Also to our listeners, good morning. So if this turns into a rant, I will allow Henry to muffle my microphone, and you guys can move on with another conversation. But I know that we intended to speak about Donald Trump today and some of the things that he's done. But I can't help but go back to 2 weekends ago and the demonstration of white supremacists and neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the impending comments that were made as a result of that event. I know that our forefathers built into our Constitution the freedom of speech, and I know that they built into our Constitution freedom of assembly and freedom of religion, I think it's the backbone of the country. But what I saw in Charlottesville was not speech. It was sputum, as the doctors call it. It was absolutely the worst thing I've ever heard in my life out of any human being's mouth since Adolf Hitler. and anybody that marches in order to deliver a message, kill the Jews, kill the blacks, and they unfortunately don't call them blacks, that's not the name they use, shouldn't be given the freedom to create that kind of, nurture that kind of feeling in this country. I don't think that's what our forefathers were thinking when they stuck that in the Constitution. What bothers me even more, that for all of the good things business-wise that have happened under his 6, 7, 8 months, however long he's been a president, the fact that he came out and in any way, shape, or form gave the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis, I'm talking about neo-Nazis, I'm talking about the Nazis, I'm talking about Germany, where we defeated that country because they wanted to annihilate every Jew in the world. We beat them, and now we're carrying that swastika written on our forehead and on flags, and we're purportedly supporting that kind of action. The fact that Donald Trump did not come out and absolutely chastise that activity from beginning to end is absolutely inexcusable, and to me, very easily could be the start to the end of his ability to govern in this country.
Interesting point, Larkin. Mark, what do you think about all that took place in the last few weeks in our nation?
Yeah, I absolutely think Larkin's correct. There's no room for it. There's no space for it. We're in America. You know, all lives matter. We all bleed red. So I definitely agree. Mike, you know, for Donald Trump as president, we always said our president, we want term limits. We wanted a business-minded person. We wanted a report card, and I think what we're talking about today is a six-month report card, right? I mean, that's what we've got, guys. You know, welcome everybody and the listeners. You know, for Mark Andel with General Welding, the Made in America store, what I believe in, you know, what has, you know, there's things good that has happened to me since January 20th. The rollback of regulation on coal and oil and mining has absolutely helped me, Mike. It's brought work into our shop. Things are moving forward, new research development, which gives a manufacturer hope. So there's a lot of good things, Mike. Consumer confidence is up. I see it as a businessman. So some very good things, and what Larkin brings, you know, there's good, bad, and ugly. So today's report, Mike, we'll continue to pick through this.
You know, it's very disappointing, Larkin, when I see that a few hundred people could have caused this type of hell in the whole country. And it's spread all through America now, in the smallest communities and the big cities. Everybody is talking about all this negativity. And that's really not something I feel that I'm all about. And I know that you're not about. You're a man, Larkin, who would sit down with a person and mentor them on a way of starting the business. I think it's time that national leaders stop throwing fists at each other and start throwing ideas at each other to get this country back to where it should be. It's the way it is, and as far as I'm concerned, is because the family fell apart, number one, and number two, the family, the head of the household and the secondary person of the household, the husband and wife, does not have the ability to support themselves, which is very hurtful.
You know, I agree. I didn't suspect that Mark would feel any other way about those protesters. There's a small part of me that says that this movement of hatred, which I don't necessarily attach Trump to, although as the leader, whether they're part of his base or not, whether they voted for him or not, to give them a sense of life by having comments that don't completely chastise their activities, they now all of a sudden think, well, we've got somebody that represents us in the White House. And if anything at all, fringe people that have some of these sick thoughts very well might become a little bit more active, because now all of a sudden we've got somebody in the White House that seemingly supports what we're saying and doing. And I think for Trump to have missed an opportunity to have completely squashed, and I mean completely and totally squashed, any member, anybody that would march behind a swastika, would march behind a white supremacy and the Ku Klux Klan, really? You know, it's funny. The Ku Klux Klan was founded by a Democrat. The 63 and 56, I think it was, legislation, which would have helped minorities, was passed by Republicans, not Democrats. This is just proof positive that this is not a party issue. This is a leadership issue. And we're suffering from a man who is on a learning curve that needs, if that be the case, needs to get a giddy up, man. You better giddy up quickly and figure out exactly how a leader in the most powerful country in the world doesn't stand around flexing his muscles at everybody else in the world. He very subtly is a leader. He very quietly leads by what he says, what he supports, and Donald Trump is completely, I'm not sure where he's coming from.
Rich, how would you change all the difficulties that have been happening?
Yeah, so good morning, guys. And yeah, Mark, thank you for Ted last week as a guest. So encouraged to hear local initiatives for Made in America. It's like Larkin always says, all politics are local. Larkin, you also added in many months ago, all politics are personal. And I agree 100% with you. So I'm going to cop out here, and I'm actually going to take the sides of both Larkin and Mark. Do I think that in his heart of hearts, not knowing him as a person, that the president likes what happened in Virginia? No, I think the narrative out of the D-mic is mostly just the usual hysteria. But what I will say about it, Larkin, is this, to side with you on this point. Look, I know that no matter what the president says, he is going to be attacked. But that is still not a reason to be inarticulate and inartful in a moment when plain, strong, artful, articulate language and messaging are needed, period. Because everything in life is about sales, but people buy ultimately on perception more than they do on the facts. And the reality, it's just the, you know, what can we say? It's just the way that it is. And that's probably even most true in politics than any other industry. So going forward from it, this is also an opportunity for forcing politicians, by demanding of politicians to say, irrespective of their party, Michael, that any group that causes violence, that incites violence, that causes terror, that does all of the things that are not protected by our First Amendment, which is the broadest freedom of speech law in the world, any group who does that is going to be deemed as a terrorist group. That's going to cover a lot of people, Larkin. KKK, neo-Nazis, these useful idiots don't even understand what the hell it is that they believe in. They go, the National Socialist Party. Do people know that's what Nazis stood for, Michael?
Right.
It's not just Democrats who got useful idiots in their camp. Don't worry, there's plenty there. But it ain't just them. So we want to go and now call organizations for what they really are? This is the new narrative by the Dems and the D-mic? I'm in. Mark, I'm in. Cause violence? Attack the cops? Block the highways? Tear down the monuments? Terrorists. Let's all call them for what they are, Michael. Neo-Nazis, KKK, that's disgusting. You want to know something? I saw people over there at this neo-Nazi thing, Larkin. They had their kids with them. Their kids.
Yeah.
They had their kids.
Yep.
They got their kids with them. It takes a village, I guess. they had their kids walking around in that crap. And I'm sitting there going, Mark, you want our youth to be able to weld. I hope they just don't kill everybody. My expectations are pretty damn low for what's happening with our youth in this country right now. Because I see a lot of youth walking around, and you know what, Mark? Those kids are actually the victims in all of this because they don't know no better. They got useful idiot parents. What about all the people walking around with the masks on? They tear down monuments. They deface public statues. They cause violence. They break windows. They turn cars over. They do this. Terrorists. Call them. You want to call them for what they are? I'm in. I'm in, Michael. I'm sold. Ah, but there's a problem. Here's the problem. Oh, no, Mark, you can't call them a terrorist. They're just concerned citizens. They're just counter-protesters. They're just Antifa. Bull! They're not Antifa. They're pro-fascist, masked, Vlad Lenin, T-shirt-wearing, dupe-dope, idol-worshipping terrorists. You want to call them for what they are, Michael? I'm in. I'm in. So you better tell that station doing our show today, they better have a defibrillator charged for me today, and they better have 911 on speed dial. Because those 2 seconds that they save dialing the 1-1 may save them.
Now,
so,
I want to...
I'm with you. Larkin, I'm with you.
It's shameful.
Don't give these sons of blankety-blank any rope. Don't give them a damn thing. But you know what? Don't give any of those groups anything. And let them know. You cause violence, you cause terror, you incite violence, we're coming for you. And we're going to come for you, and you ain't going to know what's going to hit you. That's the way. It's like Reagan said, Larkin, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat.
Well said.
Make them feel the heat.
I love open forum.
Mark, listen, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rant. Henry's going to cut me off, Larkin, with the mic. And Mark, listen, I got to be fair about this as a former journalist. Economically in the country right now, I know the president always wants to take credit when it's good and wants to criticize when it's not good. Generally, the truth is right sometimes in the middle. But do you know why the number one reason I believe, the number one reason why things economically are starting to look a little sunny side up right now? Because the president is attacking the government regulation industrial complex. That's why. Market, you know, Mark, in the stock market, what's going on elsewhere. A lot of those things are beyond the control of a president. I mean, it sounds good. It's a selling point. The president says that the stock market's up. I'm happy the stock market's up. My end users do well. But why I just think, Mark, you know, you're saying how life's been good for you, and I got a feeling that if we really peel the onion back, it's because the government regulation industrial complex is slowly but surely being chipped away. So I'm actually with both of you guys on this, okay? Sorry for the rant to our listeners. I apologize.
I think it's very good. We have to have this because so many people are disgusted. You just look at the evening news and you want to run for your life. Because this is America, supposedly the place where all dreams can come true if you work hard at it. And yet there is a small percentage of the people that just want to go out of their way to take the focus on positive and turn it to the negative. I'm going to turn it to what good things have happened in the last 6 months. Let's just take a little bit of a review of what's been going on in America. And unfortunately, all these negative things got all the publicity and not the good things that have been happening to benefit all of us Americans. First of all, we got a very good Supreme Court judge put in there, Neil Gorsuch. That was an accomplishment by the president and the legislature approving. This gentleman should help represent America in a very positive way. The president also took us out of the TTP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have taken millions of jobs over the years out of America. It was a bad deal, just like NAFTA and CAFTA. Illegal immigration is now 70% down. That's the lowest it's been in 17 years. But you don't hear it in the news media because the news media is consumed with all the negativity. And it's unfortunately that the president, the vice president, and all the people that we elected and are paying to do a job in Washington are all piling on each other, stabbing each other in the back about all the current difficulties instead of looking long term. How are we going to dig America out of the hole that we've dug ourselves into by allowing all these industries to leave? Larkin, you know yourself, 77,000 industries going out of any country is devastating. How do you get 77,000 businesses back in the country?
No, I understand that. And, you know, just allow me to say this. I really do think Trump has done some good things. I don't have a problem with his agenda. On a whole, I don't have a problem with his agenda. There are some specific things that I don't particularly care for, but on the whole, I'm pretty much wish he could get his agenda started. The infrastructure and a lot of the stuff that he claimed that fixing the taxes for the middle class. I think all of this health care, which is plagues this country and could actually bring this country to its knees if we don't solve the issue here pretty quickly. But somewhere along the line, Trump lost sight of why he is where he is and what it is he should be accomplishing. And that, to me, is a real serious problem. And I hate to be the naysayer.
I agree. I agree, Larkin. But why are so many people taking away the attention from the good that should and could be done in America and putting it to all the negativity?
And Mike, I love when you say that because it's true. And Larkin always says, no matter what, you've got to do the right thing. And you got to continue it doing. Having 80-something employees believing in the one team, one goal at General Welding and Made in America, my companies, it's very difficult. You've got to get managers that manage yourself, that believe in you. You got to lead them and guide them, but they need to be self-managed and they need to care. And I say that because the American people have to then carry it out. They just can't watch every negativity that's shown and thrown at them on TV. And I'm a very fair person. I believe in America. With the Made in America story, I said I'm with the American Party. But you got to know what's going on and how they can brainwash you, if you would, also, because there is a lot of positive happening. And as a country, we've got to come together. We can't be divided more. So we've got to look at the positives. Again, this is a report on the show today, Mike, you know, what positives going on. There's been a lot of positives that I see, like the Dodd-Frank Act being investigated, being looked at, being reviewed. Did we need control? The banks giving out money and giving out mortgages, absolutely. But a lot of my businesses, friends and myself included, 32 years of being in business, it's hard to get a dollar out of any bank. So when I hear that's being looked at, reviewed, and now turned, it makes me a bit happy and gives me hope that I may be able to get capital to support my dream and my risk-taking so I can create livelihoods. So when I hear that's being looked at, it needed to be looked at because you can't get any capital out of a bank. Correct, Larkin? It's very hard on a business owner to get money out of a bank these days without documentation every day. When you buy a house, a person buys a house, they awarded the loan for the house for their dream. They're not checked again as long as they're making their payment. A business person these days, it doesn't matter if you make your payment. You still got to provide. We're risk takers. Business owners are risk takers. They want to know why. Mark, you sell snowplows. What if it don't snow? I said, that's the risk part. So it's very hard. I've got to prove daily I get calls from my bank, daily. And I've been doing this 32 years. They want to know why. Why? What's going on? Projections more and more. And that takes time. That takes time away from me, my team. With more regulation, more time out of my day, the less I can be selling and growing my company and creating livelihoods.
Absolutely. And another thing which is very important that I'd like to bring attention to, there's two parts to this. Consumer confidence is at its highest since the year 2000. However, business confidence that they can see concede is less than high because they cannot find frontline supervisors and managers for their retail sales. They can't find electrical engineers to keep their industries running. They need mechanical engineers, which we are at a lull at in America. They need machinists. They need electricians. They need industrial machinery mechanics if the machine goes down. They're all located overseas and instead of being in America. That's because they took the trades out of our schools. I think the president and the vice president and the whole 535 people in Washington should start paying attention to that so that consumer confidence is up and also business confidence is up. Mark, you know yourself, you could want to expand your business tomorrow, but if you can't find another 20 welders, you have an expansion problem. And that's exactly what's happening in America. It's time. When you hear people from the sewing industry saying, we can't find sewing machine operators in America, we can't find tailors, we can't find old machinists to run our tailor machines, we want to come back, but we can't do it. Unless it's totally automated, we're not coming back. Right now, because we can't come back because you don't have any people there ready to get on the job line. This is the biggest problem facing America. And by the way, with all the good things that have been happening in the last 7 months, mortgage applications are now at a brand new high. It's been the highest it's been in the last 7 years because more people are employed. More people see that they have a future at the job that they are at. That's very important, that the people feel that they have a future at the job what they are at. That's why our guest last week was so important, because his efforts with this particular action, the Made in America Act, would help focus people to look at if the product is American made. That's something that hasn't been going on in the country. How many of those protesters brought up the fact that not enough is made in America?
Michael, how long have you been asking on this show when the media is going to cover stuff the right way? Honestly.
For a long time.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, Rich, that is why people are turning away from the mass media. They're tired of hearing the same thing over and over. I watched the other day for 1 hour, and during that 1 hour, they replayed the same video of the attack, the street violence in Virginia. It was just over and over again. We got to stop this. Take some time, show that, show it once, get to the next point, and show some positive. How are we going to rebuild trades? How are we going to rebuild the education system? How are we going to make the healthcare system better? None of that's a focal point. It's all negativity. Trump is no good. This one's no good. Obama's no good. Bush is still being resurrected as no good. Clinton's being, he was a horrible president. Already, let's move into today's world.
Larkin has the answers, though. Larkin, I'm going to speak for you for a moment here, if you don't mind. Yeah, Larkin's got the answers. All politics are local. Breakdown of the village. You know, or breakdown of the village. Did I just say break? Man, I am really nuts today. Breakdown of the family. You know why I had village in my head? Because our great audio engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, well, maybe I shouldn't say this on air. I don't want to speak for him either, but he said something to me that a certain presidential candidate who wrote a book called It Takes a Village, that was an automatic disqualifier for him. If he doesn't want me saying that, he's got to edit this out. But so that's an automatic disqualifier. You got the answer right there, Michael. Michael, don't wage the media war. It's a losing war. And we are not the losers, but the losers are always fighting the last war. So what I'm saying is don't fight that war. The thing about Virginia that also, as a side note to this, is that event, maybe you guys agree or disagree with this point, fine, but that event also underscores further why the majority of the American public distrusts most of the media, and in particular the DMIC, the Democrat Media Industrial Complex. So that's just another event why the distrust has come in, because I think probably a lot of Americans, Larkin, are if, you know, when they hear what you said about not getting in front of this strongly enough, they're going to agree with you, right? And that, but that's not the national narrative. And the reason it isn't is because you guys have to remember something, that one of the heroes of the modern-day Democratic Party, modern heroes, was Saul Alinsky, who was a community organizing Lucifer-worshipping agitator in Chicago. He was Clinton and Obama's one of their heroes. Okay, and one of the things that he said in his book, Rules for Radicals, which if you have not read, if anyone listening to this show has not read that book, they don't understand what the tactics are going on around them. You're the blind leading the blind. One of the things that was said in that book is the issue is never the issue. Think about the statement. The issue is never the issue. So, Michael, do you think that the majority legacy media is going to cover what the actual issue is, or do you think they're going to cover the issue is not ever the issue? You know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to ask on this show why they don't cover it, because they're never going to. So let's not wage that war, because in Sun Tzu's Art of War, I'm a wealth of good books today, in Sun Tzu's Art of War, there's two things that he says. You don't wage a war that you can't win, and you don't wage a war where you stand nothing to gain.
Hmm. Well said.
So don't do it. So let's not do that.
You know, talking about people helping one another, I saw on the particular report that our NATO allies, for the first time, have boosted their spending to bring more contracts to the United States than they ever did. I see that under our new president, which our past presidents of many years have asked NATO allies to cough up some of the money to keep the organization floating, and they didn't. But all of a sudden, now that they're asked publicly, not quietly, asked publicly, they've all given a very good share of the money to keep that. So it's saving America. America was not only protecting the world upon need, but they were also paying for these associations to continue at our expense. Also, there's another thing which I want to bring up. We are now, as a result of this new president, we're allowing the VA to terminate bad employees. I don't want to complain about John McCain, but 25 years ago, he was asked to do something in the VA hospitals to terminate employees that didn't care about the patients, and nothing was done. Mr. Trump came in and he signed a piece of an order, and it's now the law of the land that bad employees are terminated. Also, very good and important point. Mr. McCain also was asked many years ago, if a veteran lives or has moved to a remote part of the country, retired or whatever, can he then go for a hospital close to himself to get some services? The answer was you got to go to the Veterans Administration, through the Veterans Administration. Well, the new administration is allowing private health care choices for veterans. Why did it take all these years? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so there are many positive things that have happened, but the negative media continues to consume us. And when they consume us, they take away jobs for American workers. They take away our future, our stability, because people feel everything in America is falling and it's not going to rise up. You know how I often talk about how we don't have enough new jobs to replace the people retiring? Well, let me tell you, in the last 7 months, 600,000 jobs were created in industries and in offices and other activities in America, over and above the monthly retirement of people. So in other words, we created jobs for all the people, or replaced the people who were retiring, plus 600,000 new jobs were created. So that's a start. That means the economy feels that there's hope. Why does the media want us to have all these anchors around our neck as we're trying to go up the ladder? Can you go, imagine going up a step ladder with a ball and chain around your neck? That's what the news media is doing to us.
I understand these complaints, Michael, and I don't have a whole heck of a lot to offer. All I can say is the number one job that the president of this country has, as far as I'm concerned, is to hold in his hand the moral compass of the country. And he can do all of the beautiful things that are being mentioned here, and I'm not trying to discount them as much as I'm trying to say that that those are all, to me, after yesterday's press conference, to me, they are all moot points. And this is the same guy that's supporting white supremacy. And I don't, somebody correct me. Somebody tell me what the heck's going on here, because it makes no sense whatsoever for a president of this country, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 50 years, to ever support a neo-Nazi, to ever support a white supremacist, to ever support the KKK. It's unfathomable to me. It is absolutely unfathomable. It makes no sense. And he is going to have to explain this to a lot of people who are looking at him now for leadership, and we are not getting leadership right now. This is not leadership. It isn't.
Larkin, let me ask you the question. Since today is open forum and I have a lot of questions today, and this is one of the biggest questions, what could be done to put an end to all this negativity in America?
Well, a lot of it has to do with partisan politics. There's no question. That's what got us here. That's the vehicle that we rode into on this mess. There's no question. It's the other side of the aisle, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, criticizing the individual rather than criticizing the policy. It's the other side throwing rocks instead of saying, well, as far as I'm concerned, your health care bill has three things that I can buy but four that I can't, so can we work on those four? That isn't done anymore. And it's not done because there is an element of partisanship that has never existed before, and this is going to blow away Rich because I know he supports the guy. But this was all started by Newt Gingrich, who put together this Contract for America. And if you weren't for the Contract of America, word for word, you weren't for America. And ultimately, it created an atmosphere. You know, these congressmen and senators used to party together, used to see each other. They were friends. They used to negotiate. They used to collaborate. They would call each other names on the floor and fight like cats and dogs for what they believed was right and wrong. But when it was all over, they spent time together. Their families were important. I was told this personally by a gentleman who served 24 years as a congressman. And that Newt Gingrich drew that line in the sand and literally said, I don't want to see my Republican brethren in the cafeteria having lunch and kibitzing with the other side. We don't do that. We stay to ourselves. We are who we are. I can't even imagine what was going through his mind when he created it. I not only can't imagine it, I can't imagine why he lasted as long as he did. Very, very short term, but it was long enough to really change the atmosphere in Washington, and it was a very, very sad a part of our history. It really was.
What do you say about that, Rich?
Well, I do. So here's what I'll add to that, Larkin. I think you'll agree with this, and if not, please state your disagreement. Nothing happens overnight, Michael. What's happening now has been unfolding sometimes slowly, sometimes not so slowly in front of us for quite a long time. There are a lot of reasons that have contributed to the position that we're in today. You know, the thing about politicians is that, and yes, I would say this is stronger on the Dem side, but it's true of both of them, both sides. There's always this selling point of count on us, the government, to save you, protect you, be your nanny, be your village, give you health care. And I'll cite again, Larkin, a Reagan statement. The problems in our country now are from government. The solution is not government. That's the problem, right? They're the actual problem right now. So when you look at politicians and how they go about their business, what they do is they overcomplicate simple issues and they oversimplify complicated issues. So they keep these two opposing illogical approaches in front of everyone as a way to sell their "you need me." And our federal government, which is beyond bloated and more wasteful and more corrupt than it's ever been because of how gargantuan it is. And yes, the president ran on a platform of cutting back regulations, and he's doing that. And it's why I said earlier at the outset, Mark, that's whether or not you feel it that way or you sort of see it measurably and tangibly, cutting down the government regulation industrial complex is certainly helping you. So now that we've got decades and decades and decades of outsourcing and a lot of spending and a lot of big government, cultural problems where we favor the criminals more than the victims, we have cities in America that are empires. Like I said a few weeks ago on the show, the Dems have run Chicago longer than Castro's have run Cuba, Stalin, the Soviet Union, and the Jong-uns have run North Korea. And you've got those, and you, Michael, you're in an empire, by the way. You live in a mini empire where you are. And you've got statues now in your city that are being torn down and defaced, don't you? Right? Mm-hmm. So you guys in Philly, you're at 22,000 consecutive days of nothing but Democrats. Which, Larkin, as you pointed out, thank you for that. That was knowledge to me. That you have to have two Republicans. If that wasn't required in the city charter, you guys would be Baltimore, which has had only 100% Dem city council and mayors for the last 18,000 consecutive days. But the problems, Larkin, right, they do go past just the parties, because ultimately, no matter what, the problem that the Republican Party has, like, always had, and maybe it's not really a problem, maybe it's just how they are, is they just can't seem to really differentiate themselves too much from the Dems. And so you've got a lot of American people right now who are sitting here, Michael, and you know what they're saying? They're saying, I just want the country to be safe. I just want a job, and I just want health care. And the politicians come and say, oh, well, that's complicated. You need to elect me. Or they just, like, oversimplify a really complex issue, right? Like, diplomacy worldwide and how to deal with all of these legitimate threats are around. And I, look, I'm not an anarchist. The people you see with these masks and show up, these are people who are anarchists, right? That's what they do. That their terror is in that. That's how they do that. So what we need are lawmakers who pass laws that say, I'm a lawmaker, and now I'm going to pass a law to get out of the way. And you're going to barely even know that I'm there. Wouldn't that be nice, Larkin? Imagine we had a government like that.
You know, part of America.
Like you barely knew that they were there. You know they're there, right? Because what's the federal – I mean, ultimately, Michael, what's Congress's role and the president along with that? It's to uphold our Constitution and keep the country safe, right? You could throw some other things in there, like taxation and immigration and these various things, which, again, both sides got a BS narrative when it comes to these issues, like we talked about with health care and we talked about with immigration in the past. So these guys are there, men and women are there as, you know, elect me, I'll save you, I'll do this, I'll do that. In reality, they're the problem. So I'd like a government that's like, you barely know they're there. Uphold our laws, uphold our Constitution, keep the country safe, have the courage of your convictions. I guess we could wish, right? That's a nice wish list, isn't it? Maybe I'm utopian today. Maybe I'm suffering from all that donkey cheese eating, Vlad Lenin t-shirt wearing, idol worshiping utopia. I don't think I am, but it'd be nice, Larkin.
Well, listen. That problem started when, you know, this is just amazing. These kind of conversations are just amazing to me because we can look backwards. We can look over our shoulder and see where all of this started and where the mistake came up, but nobody wants to correct the mistake because somewhere along the line, some mogul of the press, either written or media, mostly electronic, invented the 24-hour news cycle. And these people are beholden to say things, do things, and show things that will create an audience for them. And what has happened as this started is that, guess what? The politicians became the stars.
You're right. Larkin, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
They're not making laws. They're not creating a betterment. They are the news. They're not creating it. They are the news.
Yeah.
And until you get people who are so blatantly that way, and I don't want to show my politics, it's never going to get any better because it becomes how do I get more press? Heck, we have a United States senator that holds his weekly press conference on Sunday morning because he has no competition.
What a business
of America is Americans, right? We always say
what
that.
A business, Larkin. No competition. How do I get in on that?
That's very well said.
What a business.
You know, guys, what's really disappointing is when I look back, say over the last 20 years, when Clinton was in, he was blamed for everything of the people before him. Then Bush came in, he was blamed for the Clinton time, and Obama got this and that. Obama didn't do it. Now the president, Trump, is getting blamed. It should be blamed. It's the blame game. Obama didn't do it right. Bush didn't do it right. But you know what, guys, I want to tell you something, and every listener can agree with this. For years, every member of the hierarchy in Washington has been watching the products made in America exit this country. And they've been going to stores, and their family have been going to stores, picking up those products now with the same beautiful label that they had when they were made in America. But now it bears the name of some foreign country that made the product. And they haven't thought that in all these years that this is hurting America. This is hurting America's family. It's hurting America's economy. It's putting our nation in debt. None of that's been of any concern. I will compliment our new president because in the last few months, he's rolled back some regulations on businesses, and that saved the government already $89 billion. It could have been done by President Obama. It could have been done by President Bush, and it could have been done by President Clinton, but it wasn't done by them. And as a result of that, we've wasted trillions of dollars in regulations, which helped drive companies out of America. Rolling back regulations on the coal industry and trying to do some things to help them get into even a better situation has helped people keep their jobs. Yes,
Michael,
things will change in the future, no question about it. But we also have to think, who are the leaders? It's not just the president. Rich, you said something, and I'll bet you 50 people repeated it to me. They said the president does not make legislation, according to Rich Loges. He only signs it. I said, well said. You're absolutely right.
Michael, I'm not paid to represent any company except my own RJL Technology Integration and my new endeavor, which is kicking off end of the year, Loges Productions, with an upcoming book called 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat. Now, after everybody laughs and chuckles at the title, which, yes, is partisan, I always let them know, don't worry, the other side gets the other side, Larkin, believe me, I'm going to enjoy writing about the next one just as much as, you know, warning sign number one, your child is becoming a Republican. Warning sign one, thinks Mitt Romney's a good candidate. That's the first warning sign. When I hear that, I'm like, correct that kid's being, disabuse that kid right now of that behavior because he's on the wrong path. But, Michael, I'll ask you something right now. I'm not paid to defend the company, but I mentioned them. Have you taken an Uber before?
Yes.
And, Larkin, you've why'd you take an Uber, Michael?
Because it was convenient. Come in seconds. Why otherwise, I have to go out on the street and hunt a cab down. Pray that a cab is riding by, so I could wave him over.
Right. Uber car and a cab are next to each other. You walk outside the Polo Center, Uber and a cab. Which do you take?
Well, who's ever going to be more convenient at the time? I know that Uber will be more realistically price-wise. So I would probably go Uber.
Okay, and why is it less money than the cab?
Because it's not regulated the way the taxi cabs are, having to pay for those medallions and everything else.
Okay, so why do healthy families in their 30s or 40s with a kid or two need to spend the cost of a Maserati every year to have health insurance?
Well, that's absolutely correct. Mark mentioned it.
Do they go to a miracle? I asked my health insurance provider the other day. He was talking. We were talking about the cost of this. I said to the guy, I said, "Is the doctor you're sending me? Does he walk on water? Does he change water into wine?" I've had this. I tell him. I said, "I got this thing on my. I'm like this pain on my back," and he like rub his hands like Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid. Do that. Go like that and put his hand over my back, and all of a sudden the pain disappears. Like, what's so special that I got to spend the cost of a Maserati to insure me and my wife and one kid? And you know what he said, right, Michael? He said, "Well, Rich, ask your congressman." Ooh. I said, "Oh, my congresswoman's Deborah Wasserman Schultz, but don't worry, we're going to oust her. Don't worry about that. She's going to be ousted." Larkin, no competition. Have you seen what the rate of registrations are in my district where Wasserman Schultz is? Let me tell you something. This area is so Democrat, even the Republicans are Democrats here.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Philadelphia, same way.
Now, another.
That's why you took the Uber, Michael, because it costs less.
Yes. And it could be done on an app.
Government there.
It could be done from an app, and you could get that car in minutes. And unfortunately, the cab companies, you have to go outside and, as the old expression is, hail a cab if you can find one. And if you call, God have mercy, plan to wait, if not be disappointed. And that's the way it is. I understand that. But
9 out of 10 times, you're going to get into a dirty cab. And I understand that also. And my question oftentimes was, why doesn't somebody, and Lyft has, why doesn't somebody in Philadelphia, if you don't like, why don't you meet them? Why don't you correct the issues that are making you so unpopular? It's the consumer that's telling you by voting with his or her wallet that you're not doing it right and that Uber is. So guess what? Clean up your cabs. Make them more spacious. Teach your cab drivers how to be a little bit more nice, a nicer individual to their customers and clients. There's a million different things that could be done to compete with them. Instead, all we want to do is complain.
Yeah, you have to listen to your customer, Larkin, is what you're saying. Yep. Same as Washington has to listen to us, the people, and start leading and start looking in the mirror at their problems.
Now,
D.C. has to look in the mirror and has to admit we want trust out of D.C., one team, and you have to make a difference. The best part about America is Americans. So, again, it's leading and listening to your customer, listening to what's going on. Mike, we talk about it. That's why we want our listeners to listen and carry out. I still believe the people have more power in this country than anything.
They absolutely
do. Voting with their dollar, making their right decisions, and holding together as one team, we can solve anything. There's no problem we can't solve.
You know, talking about something that we have to solve in America, and that is the drug situation. One thing I will compliment the new administration on, after 30 years of people suggesting that they have a commission to end drug abuse in America, we now have a commission created for opioid addiction. there was, for years, they were saying that all these drugs were coming from Mexico, yet no one authorized the commission to say this is what it's going to be.
And Mike,
if the commission does nothing, at least it's been created.
Our children.
Our children are affected.
Everybody listening should look into this and how important it is. We must stop this.
I'm really pleased to say that with all the problems that we're hearing about, because of a better look for America's future in the way of employment, we now have the lowest employment in America since May 2007. And that's good news to hear. In fact, I hear that even school bus drivers are hard to find because the school bus drivers left their school bus drive to go get a full-time job at a place where they'll be able to expand their skills and things like that. It's good things are happening. I know that Trump is a rough around the edges and the vice president is a real nice guy, but I have to tell you, I wish the press would start doing a better job promoting the things that are actually happening in the country for the good of the country. And then so that we can do things like promote Ted Morton from the District 8 of Erie County, New York, and his efforts to get Made in America Act on the ballot so that the people could have the decision. That's what we're lacking in America. The press is hurting us. Larkin, you're right. Too many shows on the press. They're 24 hours a day spreading negativity. I think half the time should be spreading. How are we going to improve America? How are we going to get more jobs here? How are we going to help people get more job skills so they feel better about themselves and able to support themselves? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it is time for us to say farewell for today. I want to first of all say a special thank you to Larkin Conley, Mark Andel, and also Rich Logis, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. As you heard from our three panelists and myself today, we are talking about common sense issues, things that are affecting America. I think we do a better job handling the management of the national media than the national media is doing. Well, guys, thank you again. You are great people. And by the way, everybody, these people volunteer their time and their services for this great movement to make America what she should be. Take the time to go out and look at those labels and spread the word, because American workers need us and American youth need us. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Great week, everybody.